good people. This is Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast. And I am your host, Francesca Thompson, educator and founder of Thrive 12. Today, I have the wonderful and amazing superstar, Ms. Rita Matthew. When I tell you, I am just so happy to be in the same room that she is my classmate at the University of Georgia. She's an educator in Athens. She's here today to share her story about a study abroad program experience and being a Fulbright scholar. Yes, ma'am. Congratulations on that, Rita. How are you today?
Thank you, ma'am. Miss Francesca. Oh my God, you just took the words out of my mouth. You are an amazing, amazing mentor and inspiration for me. And I'm so thankful that you have invited me to your podcast. Yes. I really look up to you.
I look up to you. I'm like, oh my gosh. And did I say world traveler? That is you, Rita. Every time you say something, I'm like, oh man, she knows so much.
Thank you.
So we're going to start talking about just sharing a little bit about yourself. I know you're a student, educator, author, world traveler, and someone who knows a lot about how to put it down in the kitchen, because you know how to cook very well, my dear. So tell me just a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So my name is Rita Matthew, of course. I am currently a doctoral student in workforce education and instructional technology, and I'm specializing in artificial intelligence and robotics. So I am gaining experience doing that by being a teacher. I'm teaching at the University of Georgia. Currently, I'm instructor of record for technology in education.
Wow.
And yes, so I am a non-traditional student, and I want to bring this lesson to all the listeners out there that learning is a lifelong process. I was born in Mumbai, but I've lived in London, England. I've lived in Detroit and Iowa City. I've mostly lived in university towns. And my husband is a physician and also highly qualified. So learning is very much part of our mindset.
Yeah, I know you've helped me out so much in my journey as a student as well. And I learned from you, Rita. So thank you so much for everything that you have shared with me. I really do appreciate that. So you did a study abroad program that was this year, right? This summer.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the program. What was the mission, or what problem did you solve?
The Fulbright Group Projects Abroad program was awarded to the University of Georgia. And they have been going there for many, many years under the guidance of Professor Lioba Moshi, who is the director of UGA's African Studies Institute. Also, Professor Robert Branch, professor in the Department of Career and Information Studies, has been part of the leaders. And of the key figure here is Professor John Mativo. He is faculty in the College of Engineering, as well as a professor in the workforce education. So the three of them had this vision, but Professor Moshi had the vision that we need to have an exchange of ideas and open minds for students and teachers. So she started taking students to Tanzania to learn the culture. But then when Professor Mativo joined, he has a background. He in fact builds racing cars.
Oh, wow.
That's his passion. He's like famous. He even races them.
I never even knew that.
Yeah, he's really famous for that.
Oh, wow.
He has a heart for service. So every year, it's a huge commitment for him to take people to. He is originally from Kenya, but educated here in the United States. So he takes teachers to Tanzania to show them, you know, that robotics and is not that difficult. Mm-hmm. And then we learn by teaching, and we learn and we teach.
So what were you teaching specifically while you were there?
So the scholarship is for teaching robotics.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had last summer in 2022 participated in an NIH program mm-hmm. for AI and robotics. And so Dr. Mativo, and in fact, one of my friends who's a graduate of Georgia Tech and mm-hmm. a teacher in Barrow County, she and I were discussing another project, and she said, why don't you apply? And so I did, and I got in. And so it was a wonderful experience for me, because I have an MBA and I'm an accountant by profession, but I'm learning about robotics and AI. So this gave me an opportunity to be for 4 weeks with professional engineers and computer science teachers. Mm-hmm. So first they taught the teachers, and then the teachers taught the other teachers, and the teachers then taught the students.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now I see. I understand it now. So that was the process.
Yes, that is the process. So before we went into the universities to teach, we spent a couple of weeks learning about robotics and coding.
Mm-hmm. So was it really difficult stuff though, Rita, or was it something that you could quickly learn?
You can quickly learn, because okay. the VEX program, robotics, and the Robo and Mindstorm, the Lego Mindstorm.
Oh, I use those products. Okay, that's what you guys were using?
Yes. So wow. all of those products, the whole idea behind this is to help teachers understand that it's not that difficult. You overcome that fear, and it's so exciting to innovate.
You know what? And while you're saying that, that is key right there. You said a key thing is to show teachers that it's just not that difficult. We need that here as well. I think people, when you start talking about AI and robotics, they think that it's way too over their head, too high of a level, and they don't want to touch it and entertain it. But it would just bring so much innovation to the classroom if we would just dive right into that, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we have seen the downside to making students focus primarily on assessments and exams.
Yes.
Whereas this gives us a platform for hands-on experience. So we went into and even in my own class in technology and education, I take the students out, and they're mostly pre-service teachers or elementary school, middle school teachers or planning to be teachers. And they come in, and I take them on field trips to the botanical garden, to the trial garden, or mm-hmm. to the McBay makerspace. And then we come up with questions and we create projects that are meaningful to them.
Yeah.
And so then by going to a country like Tanzania, we were able to create questions, observe for ourselves what are the needs there, and then see how to adapt. So it really is not just about putting screws and tightening the bolts, but it's about using all of our minds and knowledge.
Yes.
We use science, we use computation, we learn to communicate in a foreign language, we learn Swahili. So all this is going on, and we don't know what we're going to have for breakfast next day, because it's all exotic.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's not like you guys had a wonderful time.
It was a wonderful time, because for me as an author of my book, and let me say a little bit about my book, if you don't mind.
Okay.
It's called There Is a Season,
uh-huh.
An Intentional Approach to Sustenance. So during the pandemic, I saw that the food was always not on the shelves where it's supposed to be, the fresh produce.
That.
And I started thinking, I wonder what that is all about. It turns out that we have become so reliant on food being shipped to us from faraway places. Yes, it's great. Mm-hmm. I can eat a mango all year long, but yeah. a mango doesn't grow all year long in Athens, Georgia. It doesn't. Neither does a jackfruit.
Yes.
Jackfruit.
It's yes.
The spiky thing. So I never. I went in. I got a degree, a certificate in master gardening, and it was great to play in the dirt because when you're scooped up in the house, you go out there and you play in the dirt, and then you learn chemistry. You learn about nitrates and the things that NPK. I keep saying NPK, and all my friends laugh. The nitrogen, phosphorus, etc., etc. That you need. The plants need it. So unless you interact with these things, you're never going to learn chemistry, right? If you go to your supermarket, do you think they're going to tell you NPK?
No. Well, it looks like a lot of what you learn in that program is what you applied even in your study abroad, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's always connected. And that's one thing about education. Everything connects in some way. So why should teachers seek a study abroad opportunity?
Well, it gave, personally, I can tell you from my personal experience, it gave me a practice in developing curriculum for diverse settings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, curriculum development, if you're doing it to prepare the students for your next SAT exam or whatever, is different from a curriculum that says, let's solve this problem where there's no water or we need security on the border. Mm-hmm. So how would the robot go and, you know, flashlights, etc.? And they actually built these robots where they went around guarding the chicken coop from the, you know, foxes or whatever that were going to attack, right? So that plays into cybersecurity, right? You could be teaching cybersecurity or you could be protecting your little chicken.
Yes. Right?
Which is your next, which is your next lunch for the week, right?
Which is your next lunch.
So you are totally motivated to learn how to program the robot.
Right. That's funny, Rita.
Yeah. And then we learned how people grow food in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And we saw a spice farm and the spices. So it wasn't just about robotics. The Fulbright Haze is about robotics as well as cultural program. Mm-hmm. So we saw all of that. And we learned Swahili. Another language.
Lots of exposure. And teachers who participate in this type of program, they get lots of exposure and can bring all of that knowledge and resources back to their classroom.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. We, one of our teachers, many of our teachers are planning to go back. In fact, one has already prepared her application. She's planning to go back and then take a whole group of her students from Gwinnett County. And another teacher is raising funds through his church. And he is going to provide the orphanage that we visited, he's going to provide them with computers. So, yes. And then, of course, there's a way of communicating with those students so you can have long-term relationships with them. So there's, and your own students in, say, Gwinnett County or Barrow County, Oconee County, Greene County, these students then get, have their minds opened to say, okay, so this student, how is he studying when there's no electricity, there's no light, right? Mm-hmm. And here we are, we have 24, we take these things for granted.
We do.
Yeah. Those students are so motivated. It was just so amazing. I have come back and I'm thinking, you know, I'm just very filled with gratitude for being, in this country. I'm so blessed, really blessed.
Yes. Oh, I love it, Rita. Well, you know what? And I'm glad that you had started off saying that you're a non-traditional student, because a lot of people, because I'm non-traditional as well, a lot of people think, oh, study abroad, I have a family, I'm not going to be able to do that. But there are plenty of families that moms, dads, they leave it. It's not like you have to be there for a semester long. Yours was 4 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's flexible and you can do it during the summertime because that's when we typically have off. So I would definitely say just look into it to get that opportunity. I was just filling out some application today, Rita, and I had checked no for if I was going to do a study abroad program. But just now, after having this conversation with you, I'm going to go back and say, yeah, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to go and do a study abroad program next summer. I'm in it.
Fantastic. Yeah. See, yes. It's those little seeds that you plant that count. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's why I'm back in school, because I want to be a source of hopefully inspiring others that learning is a continuous process. Mm-hmm. And it's also about service. So at its heart, teaching is about serving.
Yes.
So in bringing knowledge to those we serve, we create an atmosphere of tolerance for differences and build a sustainable future for all.
Oh, nicely said, Rita. Love it. So if you had to give teachers one small piece of advice about teaching, right, what would you say?
I would say to be patient and empathetic to the students' needs, but mm-hmm. also to your own needs.
Oh, yes.
And don't forget yourself.
Don't forget yourself. Well, Rita, this has definitely been great. I have learned a little more about you, and I will leave your information in the show notes, your book, your website, and how people can get in contact with you. Just in case they may not understand how to do the study abroad program, they may reach out to you. I want to just say thank you so much for being a part of the show and sharing your knowledge. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I am glad to be a part of your program. And
yes, thank you.
And wish you good luck.
Thank you. Well, I know we have been talking about this for a while, and I'm glad that we finally did it. You have planted a seed tonight, the seed of why it's important to experience new places and cultures around the world to gain a global perspective. I really appreciate our conversation so much, Rita. In closing, guys, I want to say just thank you all. Today's episode was about why you should participate in the study abroad program, and this was specifically the Fulbright Scholar Program. This is brought to you by Thrive 12, an educational resource company dedicated to educators around the world. Please check us out at www.thrive12.com for additional information. In the show notes, I attached a few resources dedicated to this episode. Please leave a comment, share, or feedback, and participate in the show discussion. Thank you for everything, and do one thing for me. Keep thriving. Good night, everyone.